We are in a cost of living crisis. The value of being a doctor and the pay has gone down in real terms. And many of us doctors, we are looking for alternative forms of income. There are many doctors who are leaving the profession for better pay, better lifestyle, but not many would consider starting a business. Most will think, oh, it's risky, it takes a lot of work, I don't know where to start, excuse. But let me tell you, as someone that has started at least three businesses, this is an opportunity that should not be overlooked, and it can be a great route for you if you are looking for financial stability for the foreseeable future. In fact, I believe that all doctors should consider setting themselves up as a business as an essential life skill, and I will tell you why in this episode. So let's get real. Our value as doctors has significantly diminished over the last decade. So how can we turn that around by upskilling and creating rewarding and impactful careers on our own terms? Welcome to Disrupting Doctors' Careers. I'm your host, Dr. Abena Bubbers-Jones, and I'm on a mission to connect 1 million talented doctors with the best in diverse career opportunities. Before we get started, total disclaimer, nothing in this episode constitutes as financial advice. Please go ahead and discuss your options with a regulated financial advisor. So let me tell you a story. When I started my first business, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no experience in business. I had a co-founder who hadn't started their own business, Sarah, but had some experience in industry with her background in accountancy, recruitment, you name it. But what really drew me to business was really the opportunity to create something that was mine or ours at the time. Something that would provide a vehicle to take me outside of the NHS and to create an asset that could be of significant value, whether that would be in the shorter term or longer term. It was also a great opportunity to learn what I really didn't know at the time. So that business was and still is going, it's Medic Footprint. So that was my first ever business, can you believe? And we are celebrating 10 years this year. It's quite unusual for anyone to have a business going that long, let alone their first business. But there you go. Anyway, let's jump back to the topic and why I'm talking about this. So I know that a lot of doctors these days are really worried about finances, especially with the increase of cost of living. Salaries for doctors aren't as great as they used to be. And we're all looking for side hustles, right? We're all looking for secondary form of incomes. A lot of us are also looking for better paying jobs. But starting a business always sounds like it or feels like it can be super, super risky, right? And when we think of businesses, we think of startups, we think of having to raise funding, we think of VCs, we think of heavy. I don't have time for that. So let me tell you something that I'm getting into more. It is starting a business or growing a business with minimal resources. You may have heard or read a book called The Minimalist Entrepreneur. I would definitely recommend it. But the concepts around this are that pretty much anyone can start a business. It's so easy to start a business these days. Particularly with all of the social media platforms, becoming a creator. And there are so many tools that takes the headache out of traditionally setting up a business that makes it easy for you to focus on what you love. So why aren't more doctors doing this? That's the question I always have. And I know there's a concern because there's a huge barrier of what we perceive starting a business should look like. So let me start by sharing with you one of the easiest ways to set up a business is to become a business yourself. You are a walking, talking business. And I believe that all doctors should see themselves as that, regardless of whether you're employed or self-employed. We see a lot of doctors who go into consulting because it's pretty easy to do. You're essentially giving advice to companies, and that's what we do anyway in our job. We give advice to patients. So the transition in mindset isn't that different. And all you need to do is just position yourself and start charging for your time. Or more importantly, as you know, I like to say, your value. This is an easy first step into any sector that you're looking to move into. For a lot of people, health tech, but you can do it to any particular sector. But one of the reasons it tends to be quite popular is because it can be done as a side hustle and alongside your clinical work, if that's something that you are continuing to do, which a lot of doctors do. So the great thing about this is that when you run a business, especially if you are a solopreneur, you have the opportunity to charge what you want. So directly influence your earnings. So as you know, if you're working as an employed doctor, which a lot of us are used to, especially in the NHS, you get told what you'll be paid. Right, there isn't really much negotiation. I get it, there's lots of benefits, especially in the public sector when it comes to standardization of salaries. There's a good reason for that. But there is a ceiling as to how much you can earn. This is also similar in industry. There tends to be, it's a bit less of a ceiling, but that ceiling and benchmarking process is still there depending on the role that you take. Whereas when you are running your own business, you can charge what you like. Obviously, there is a lot that goes into that decision making. At the end of the day, it's what people want to pay or companies want to pay, but you get to decide, right? So what better than that? You can see that glass ceiling falling away as we speak. I know one particular doctor who works in public health and continues to work in public health alongside doing some consulting work. And so actually most of their salary, or their income, I should say, is the consulting work. And we're talking a six-figure salary. this is what they pay themselves, right? The clinical work or the public health work is something that they really enjoy and has kept up deliberately because it's something that they personally get a lot of value and joy from. And actually having that balance, I've seen a lot of doctors having that balance of clinical and non-clinical, they find a lot more rewarding. There's a lot more meaning in the clinical. You may have heard one of the previous podcasts with the Microsoft CCIO, Umang Patel. I've known him for a long time and he's been through a lot of health tech companies, including Babylon. But the interesting thing about him is that he still works as a pediatric doctor one day a week. And he's been doing that since the very beginning, which is incredible. It's awesome and it's incredible. But the whole idea behind this is do not underestimate how starting up your own business can really help you to control your income potential and remove that limit that you may experience in an institution or an organization that you're working for. So the next point. So a lot of us go and buy a house, right? Why do we buy houses? Why is that so popular? Why do we get out mortgages and put out a lot of money and probably spend more on the house in our lifetime than the value that it is when we buy it? Because the value of that house is likely to increase significantly over time. So what we're doing is buying an equity into a property on the assumption and the hope that it will increase in value over time. And at some point in the future, we will be able to take that additional value and convert that into money, right? So the same is with building a business of your own, right? Whether that's just you or a number of people, you are building an asset that has the potential to increase value over time. So I mentioned when I started Medic Footprints, actually one of the real motivators for me to do that was to create an asset, create something from nothing that would really be seen as value, right? I wouldn't be doing Medic Footprints today if it wasn't valuable to the people that I serve, which are people like you, doctors, right? And also, it's not just about building that value. It's also about being able to, you know, derive an income from what you're building. So you'll see, as well as me setting up Medic Footprints and creating a valuable product, I'm also able to pay myself a salary. And this is alongside the salary that I'm deriving from my clinical work, and alongside the salary that I'm deriving from my other business. So what's more financially stable than spreading the risk when it comes to deriving income from not just one source, but from multiple sources? One of the challenges that particularly, you know, both parents actually more so, but particularly those who identify as women face when they go on maternity leave, in particular for a long period of time, is income or lack of income. Depending on who you work for, obviously the level of income does vary, but particularly it's great in the public sector, I have to say, particularly when you're either self-employed or you are in any organization. It's a bit of a lottery as to whether you will get an income. And one of the downsides of being self-employed usually is that if you stop working, then you don't get paid, right? So in my personal circumstance, I've gone through 2 maternity leaves, and in stopping, say, my occupational health work, I'm still able to derive some of a salary from the money that I'd accrued from that work over time, as well as my Medic Footprints income, as well as some other income I had from an employed job I was actually doing during my first maternity leave. I can't say it was easy. It definitely was not easy, but I was really fortunate to have a number of different sources where I could draw upon some income to sustain myself and my family whilst growing my family. So my question for you is, in going and moving towards financial stability, have you maximized or optimized your income streams? And don't get me wrong, they don't have to be you formally. The best income streams are those that are, in inverted commas, passive. So those that will keep on running when you are not working. And going back to the house example, this is why a lot of people invest in housing, simply because they will rent it out, they'll do a buy to let, and this is where the passive income, in inverted commas, comes in. My next point is all about understanding numbers, understanding finances. So as doctors, particularly if we came into medicine from school, for example, not many of us are really adept when it comes to financial literacy, and that is an important opportunity that's missed by most, not all, but most of us. Especially if we're employed, at the end of every month, we're given a PAYE slip or, you know, a payment slip, and you actually don't have to do anything and you don't have to understand anything, right? So I noticed a few things when I started a business. One, I was scared of anything accounting related. 2, I didn't really understand anything accounting related. And 3, I realized actually that taxes actually our biggest expense in life and will not ever go away. So when you become self-employed, understanding your tax burden is essential. It's hugely essential because that affects not only you, but your family. So without getting into more details on finances and tax, my take home for you is make sure you really understand the numbers, particularly because that understanding, that financial literacy, particularly if you're moving to industry, is hugely, hugely relevant and will help you stand out when it comes to applying for jobs, particularly in industry, because this is what they're looking for. They're looking for doctors who have that commercial know-how, understand the value of the product or the service they're delivering. And these are people who are more likely to be promoted to senior level roles because they have a better overview or understanding of the business. Because at the end of the day, all businesses, they run on money. Without money, they don't run. So it's your responsibility to really become financially literate, especially if you want to future-proof your career and future-proof your life. My advice for everyone is get a great tax accountant and get a great independent wealth advisor or financial advisor. They will be your best friends for life. And finally, I went to an event not that long ago. It was a well-known venture capitalist networking event, and I bumped into a medical student who wanted some advice on developing their careers beyond medicine. They decided they didn't really want to do medicine anymore. They weren't really sure how to get into industry, and they were really confused.com. They said to me, I don't have any experience. I don't really know what to do. And so throughout that conversation, it became apparent that he did have experience, quite a lot of experience, but he didn't identify this experience. So this person had started selling items on eBay and actually building a business that way. So leveraging the existing platform, selling products, earning money. And apparently that had been quite successful, but then due to medical student life, hadn't managed to keep it up as much as he would liked. But at that point, my jaw dropped because I was like, hey, hold on a second. You clearly have a lot of commercial business experience just based on that activity. Whether it was successful or failed, it doesn't matter. You understand the importance of valuing a product. You clearly understand numbers. You clearly understand marketing. You know how to leverage existing online platforms. This is what companies are looking for. It doesn't really matter whether you've specifically worked in a sector. It is how you articulate your expertise and your experience and what you've proactively done on your own to demonstrate how those transferable skills will be relevant to the job that you're applying for, the sector you're going into. I literally saw a light bulb pop above his head in that moment. And he was like, oh, yeah, actually, you're right. Do you know what I'm saying? It's so funny where people don't see what's really right in front of them or what they actually already have that can help them move towards their next stage. They keep on scrabbling to say, oh, I don't have this, or I don't have that. But actually, please, 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 if there's any take home for this, leverage your existing skills to do what you love most. So if you're thinking, you've come at the end of this and you're thinking, hey, I don't know. I mean, setting up a business, you know, it might work for me, but I've got no idea what to do when it comes to setting up a business or what that business should even be about, I would say start with one thing that you know you love doing. Because at the end of the day, if there's a market for that, i.e. people, you know, people would pay for it. This does not have to be medicine related, by the way. In fact, sometimes it's better if it's not. But if it's something that people, you know, people would pay for, and the way you'd find that out is asking your target audience or potential customers, Googling to see whether any existing or companies selling this product or service exist. That's a really good sign. So if it is something that people would pay for, then do it. Set yourself up as a business. It's so easy, so easy to set up a business. There's no reason for you not to. I think one of the biggest challenges that I know doctors have is time. And I would say, please, please, please see this as an investment in a way for you to not only future-proof your career, but achieve that financial stability that you are looking for, especially in these times. So create that time. It will be worth it. Get a financial advisor. It will be worth it. Get an accountant, it will be worth it. Get the advice you need to make that decision, but don't be held back and do it. And let me know how you get on. Anyway, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, please subscribe. Leave a glowing review that really explains how these episodes have helped you or got you thinking. And don't forget, we run a fellowship where we deep dive into a lot of these topics, the Doctors in Industry Fellowship. Please go to medicfootprints.org/industry.